We are going to continue on in our Beyond Sight series that we started just a few weeks back. Today, our focus is going to be on the thought of sinking slowly. When we're living in a world that constantly tries to overshadow God in our lives, when we're focusing on everything but our relationship with God, what impact does that have on our lives? How can we in turn focus more on God, the one thing that we can continually count on, lean on, and the one thing who keeps us afloat in our ever-changing lives? As we're thinking of this, I want to remember a story as we go through today together. I want to remember a story about Peter, and one that most of us know. If you open your Bible to Matthew 14, 25 through 33, this is a story about Peter when he walks on water. It's going to be up on the screen, or is up on the screen, if you want to follow along there as well. It says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, the disciples, he went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why do you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So the theme that I want us to focus on today is this. Jesus is the only one who keeps us afloat. Jesus is the only one who keeps us afloat. So reading over the story of Peter, I want to start with a couple of questions for you guys today. What are some things that you put your trust into? What are some things that you lean on in life or that you tend to prioritize in life? What are those things that keep you going, if you will? See, a lot of you are now like looking down at that coffee cup, right? That's me. It's family worship service. We're rushing out the door. Kids barely get dressed. We're lucky if they got fed. Arguing with them in the backseat of the car, and you go straight for the coffee when you get here, right? Man, God give us blessings there, coffee. But really, think about this question. What do you put your trust, your identity into? What do you lean on when things get tough? What do you prioritize? What really keeps you going? Think about the distractions that we all allow to overshadow our relationship with God in our life. For Peter, in this particular story, it was the wind and the waves. So what is it for you? I'm sure there's a lot of different answers in this room right now. I think a lot of us could agree with one of the following. Work, money, family, sports, school. But here's the problem. All of these things that I just mentioned, they're all visual, tangible things. They all are something that we can focus on that's in the here and the now. We can see them when we look around, right? So let's talk about these. Let's talk about sports. If you follow sports at all, I'm sure everyone can think of a player at some point in their lives that got hurt and lost everything. Maybe it was a high school athlete, and they're on the field, and they got hurt. And they lost that ability or that scholarship to go to that dream school they always wanted to go to. Maybe it's a college athlete. They put all their time and focus and energy into this sport, and then they get injured. And they lost the ability to be drafted into professional sports. But maybe it is a professional athlete. They put all their time and energy and focus into this sport, and then they got injured. And where does that leave them? You know, they have put everything into this one thing, if you will, and when it's lost or when it's gone, they are lost. They don't know what their next move will be. They don't know where they're going to go next. They're so focused on the right here, right now, that they're not looking ahead, or more importantly, they're not putting their focus, their attention, and their time into something that's truly fulfilling, truly everlasting, something, or better yet, someone who can keep them afloat. What about family? What about family? Is anyone here focused so much of their lives on their family that even that starts to overshadow your relationship with God? I watched a video, someone shared a video with me, it's been a little while back on Facebook, and it was called Stop Idolizing Your Family by Francis Chan. I'd highly recommend looking that up. It's only about 4 or 5 minutes long. But it's a great video, and Francis Chan makes a lot of great points in this video. And I never really thought about some of the things he said until I heard him say it. He goes on to explain that we're tempted when we're married or have kids to become so inwardly focused on our families that they become almost like idols to us. He says that we think and we're told that when we start a marriage, that all of our time and all of our focus and all of our attention has to be on that marriage. Or when we have a baby, all of our time and all of our focus and all of our attention has to be on that newborn baby because it's a life change. Or when we have teens in the house, all of our time and all of our focus and all of our attention have to be on the teens because in a couple years, they're going to be grown and they're going to be moving on. And then and only then, after you've given everything you have to those things, then you can go out and spread the word. Then you can go out and disciple to others. He goes on and says that we're so focused on protecting our family and putting them in a bubble away from the world and all the bad things and all the bad people in the world that we ultimately shield our kids from God and his works as well. You see, this is a direct opposite of what the Bible calls us to do when it talks about going out and discipling, going out and spreading the word. We're not supposed to put every tiny amount of attention and focus on our marriage and our family and not give any time to God in these years. Now, please do not mistake what I am saying here. I don't mean that we must not protect our kids, that we must not protect our family. I'm not saying that we're not to take and spend quality time with our family. But we need to be cautious on how we're doing it and the impression that it's leaving on our children. We need to raise our kids to read the Bible. We need to raise our kids to pray to God. We need to raise our kids to live as Christians as we do everyday life together. I mean, look at what Proverbs 22:6 says. It says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And then Deuteronomy 11:19, it says, teach them, then meaning the commands that's referenced earlier on in this chapter, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. It is extremely important that we as parents make known to our children the importance of knowing God, what God's word says, and how to live as Christians. But we need to be careful not to idolize our family so much that we're shielding them from every single what if and yeah buts in the world. But show them that there's going to be ups and downs in our lives, trials, distractions, wind, waves. And when that happens, we have an amazing opportunity to turn to God, to lean on God, to focus or refocus on God, and in the end, your relationship is going to be better and stronger because of it. But maybe sports and family aren't what's pulling you down right now. That's not what's overshadowing your relationship. I can honestly say that for me, in the past and in the present, work was and probably still is the biggest weakness of mine. Let me tell you guys a little bit about myself. After high school, I traveled to Florida in about 2009 with the dream of umpiring professional baseball. In the summer of 2009, I was blessed with an amazing opportunity to travel the entire Midwest and up into Canada umpiring professional baseball, doing something that I'd always loved to do and always wanted to do in my life. I traveled for around 5 months or so, and man, it was awesome for a young guy with no responsibilities and no worries back home. But the problem came when I got back home. After this season, I got back home and my identity was gone. All of my friends were off at college, and I went back to living on my own, trying to figure out what in the world am I going to do with my life now. So I had to figure something out quick. I got a job in sales, and luckily I was pretty good at it. I was young, I was single, I was making more money than a kid at that age probably ever should. And I was working insanely crazy hours, and it didn't bother me. Because I was so wrapped up in my success, I was so wrapped up in my money, I was so wrapped up in chasing that next sale and being the best that I could possibly be, that I lost my identity. My identity was in the job. It was in work. That's who I was. Everything I was, everything that I thought I was, came from work, came from how many sales I had, came from how big that check was at the end of the month. In 2012, Chris and I got married and life was good. I just found the girl of my dreams. She actually married me, which is a blessing in and of itself. And I was still working like crazy hours, but she was in law school and we didn't have much time together, but it was fine because we were both busy and it was okay. But slowly it got to us. It was after I got married that I realized how messed up my thought process was, my priorities were, my true focus was. Because after the crazy amount of hours, the last thing I would want to do in the day is come home and talk to my wife, let alone open my Bible and have a conversation with God. My brain was fried, and all I wanted to do was relax and get back at it the next day. But that was not true. I didn't want to keep doing that to myself, my family, and my faith. When Krista was pregnant with Piper, I knew something had to change in my life. I was already starting to lose Kristen and this most amazing, precious little girl that I had not even met yet. I was miserable. I had to put on such a persona at work that everything was great and that I actually enjoyed what I was doing to myself day in and day out. At this point in our lives, Kristen and I barely saw each other, let alone spoke. And it was mostly my fault because of everything I did, everything I was, came from work. And I knew that I didn't want to live my life only seeing my kids on a Saturday night after work or on a Sunday, because throughout the week I'd be out the house before they got up and I'd come home after bedtime. I didn't want that. I was sinking. And it was because my focus was not on the right things. I was focused on work and I wasn't focused on God like I should have been. In that time in my life, I really was out of the boat and I was sinking. I was not looking to Jesus to keep me afloat, to pull me back up to the surface. I was looking at my job, my identity at that time. Has anyone else been there? Or are you going through that right now? So maybe you're like me. You're slowly sinking because you're so caught up in work and you can't turn it off when you're at home. Yeah, you're home physically, but mentally you're out the office or completely checked out of everything going on around you like I was. You see, at this time in my life, my intentions were really good. They truly were, at least I thought they were in my mind. I was so focused on providing for my family and supporting my family that I missed the true need. I missed being the leader at the home that I was called to be. I missed this because my focus was not on Jesus. It was on work. When you get sucked in like this, whatever it might be for you, the work, the family, the sports. We get sucked in like this. It reminds me of a story of the rich man who was asking Jesus, what does it take to inherit eternal life? So turn to Mark 10, 17 through 27, please. Mark 10, 17 through 27 says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible with God. So this brings me to my first point. You see, sometimes the one thing pulling us down is the hardest thing to let go of. The one thing pulling us down is the hardest thing to let go of. The man in this story, he had spent his entire life doing everything that he thought was right. But when it came down to it, he was pulled down by his possessions. I think a lot of us do the same with our possessions, our money, our family, our sports, and so on. We're so focused on treating others with respect, going to church, praying, and so on, that we do not realize that we're slowly sinking because we have a grip on this worldly possession and that we let it interfere with our relationship with God and not even realize it. And then we get called out. We have a hard time letting go and trusting God with it. In this story, the rich man was attached to his possessions. So Jesus challenged him to sacrifice in the one area that kept him from making a full commitment of faith. The one area that was pulling this man down. The one area that was overshadowing with his relationship with God. You see, guys, unless we give God first place in our lives, we give him no place in our lives. And I want to continue talking about Peter. We read a little bit about him, earlier. But we're first introduced to Peter when Jesus comes upon him and his brother fishing, right? And Jesus tells him, come, follow me, and I'll send you out and be fishers of people. And in Matthew 4, we see Simon Peter and his brother Andrew immediately drop what they're doing to follow Jesus. They leave everything they know to follow this guy. Now, this gives me big respect. I'm not so sure if I was Peter in this situation, and I had everything I have and everything that I know and everything I need, I'm not so sure that I would just up and leave it all to follow Jesus. I would like to think I would, but I'm not so sure I would. But Peter does. Then, as we continue to learn about Peter, we read that he's the first disciple named in the lists of the 12 disciples. And this is in Matthew 10, Mark 3, and Luke 6. Now, nothing in the Bible is written by accident. So it makes me wonder, man, Peter must have been a good dude, right? He was always there. He was one of the first ones listed. Then we come to the two main stories that we all talk about when we talk about Peter. When he walks on water and when he denies Jesus. So I actually first want to talk about when Peter denies Jesus. That can be found in Matthew 26, 31 through 35. And it says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. So I read this, and I would like to think that the majority of us in this room today, we would be like Peter. We would be so sure and so strong in our faith that even the thought of denying Jesus would upset us. I mean, look, Peter lays it all out. He says, even if I have to die, I will never deny you. But here's the issue with what Peter's saying in this verse. Look closely at the words that Peter uses. He says, I never will. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And he says this to Jesus himself. Peter's so focused on himself in the situation rather than listening to what Jesus is telling him. He's so sure about himself that he's not taking the warning that Jesus is trying to give him. I. That's what we hear Peter say right now. And it's a great lesson for us here. There are times in our lives when God is trying to communicate with us, but it takes us looking beyond sight to truly listen to God and understand what he is saying. We say that again. There are times in our lives when God is trying to communicate with us, but it takes us looking beyond sight to truly listen to God and understand what he is saying. Beyond what we see, beyond what we hear, beyond what we feel, we need to be intentional about listening to God when he is trying to communicate with us. So, flip your Bibles a few verses. We're going to see this actual story play out. Peter denies Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And right afterwards, a rooster crows, and he immediately remembers what Jesus had told him. Peter was devastated, and he went out and he wept. He was emotional. He knew he messed up in that instance, but later on in Peter's story in John 21, we see that Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him. And each time Peter's given the opportunity and says, yes, Lord, I do love you. You see, Jesus was bringing Peter back up. He knew Peter was sinking, but gave him the opportunity to confess his love for Jesus and once again lean on him and understand that he needed Jesus in his life. When Peter denied Jesus, he was so worried about what was right in front of him that in that exact moment. He was not thinking about Jesus or what denying him might do. But in that moment he heard the rooster crow, he understood exactly what he had just done. In that moment, Peter was not living beyond sight, but he was so focused on what was there in front of him. He was so focused on the there and the then. What about the other story about Peter, the one that we started today with? When Peter walks on water, I think sometimes we act like Peter when he goes to walk on the water. Go ahead and turn back to that again. Let's go over this one more time together in Matthew 14. The story starts out, Jesus feeding the 5,000 and then all the women and children as well. And after he does this, he sends his disciples on out to the boat, tells them, go ahead, set sail, and he'll dismiss the crowd. And then Jesus goes up to pray. And that's what we're going to pick up in verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Has anyone ever felt like Peter in this story? You're going through life, you're getting pulled under when your focus is on everything but Jesus. When you're focusing on the family and the sports and the school and the money and so on. Maybe you're getting knocked down by a storm and overpowered by waves. Maybe it's a lost job, a lost loved one. Maybe you had an argument with a friend or a spouse. You know, the storms of everyday life. Then you see or you hear Jesus. Maybe it's in a devotion you read. Maybe it's in a song that you hear on the radio. Maybe it's just in a verse that popped into your head. And you know that it just has to be Jesus trying to speak with you. You jump out of the boat. You aren't worried about the fight, the loss, or the storms. You aren't focused on the job or the money or the sports, but you're so focused on Jesus. But then you look around and you see everything going on. You feel the wind and the waves and you start to sink because at that exact moment, you're so focused on what you do see and not what is beyond sight. Not thinking about having faith in Jesus to help you get through it. Jesus says, you of little faith, why do you doubt? The worship team can come on forward. Here's my next point. Guys, sometimes we need the wind and the waves to remind us what our real focus should be. Jesus is the only one who can keep us afloat. Sometimes we need the wind and the waves to remind us what our real focus should be. Jesus is the only one that can keep us afloat. Here's the cool thing. We have a God that loves us more than we can ever imagine and ever dream of. Simon Peter was one of his first disciples. This dude loved Jesus and he would do anything for him. But like the rest of us, he let some things pull him down. He allowed some things to get between him and his relationship with God. But it's how he acted and responded when that happened. Peter was a man of faith. He lived beyond sight. But some worldly things got to him just like it gets to us. When that happens, we need to remember that we have an amazing God, one that loves us and cares for us. Sometimes God gives us more than we think we can handle just to remind us what our true focus should be on Jesus. Like I said, we need the wind and the waves sometimes in life. When we go through these times, when we focus on other things, when we start to sink, God is right there to pull us back up. But we first must focus on him and ask him for help. God allowed Peter to be tempted. He allowed him to go through trials and face real situations in his life. And in the end, Peter came out stronger than he was before, and his relationship with God was stronger than it was We put so much time and energy into everything we do, but we tend to forget the one thing that deserves our time and our energy. It's God. When you allow God to be first in your life, the mountains you face every day is going to feel more like a bump in the road. The storms and the wind that you face is going to feel more like a breeze. And the feeling of slowly sinking because of everyday problems and distractions, that's going to be overshadowed by the feeling of Jesus reaching down to pull you back up to the surface, as he is the only one that can keep you afloat. So I want to end with this thought. What Peter will you be today? One that lives beyond sight by faith and walks on the water? Or are you going to be the Peter that's focusing on the waves and the distractions and the wind around you and letting you pull your attention and your focus off of Jesus? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. Again, I thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us all to be here in your presence. God, I pray that this week we focus on you. We lean on you. That when we're going through the storms, the distractions, that we know this is just another opportunity for us to reach out to you and ask you to guide us. God, I thank you so much for the love that you have for us and for everything you do for us. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.